recording. Please, can you just go over? Can you just go over? Just
okay. That's fair.
Yeah, I just started now. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. So, do you want me to just go over?
Yes.
You want to start again? Or?
Yes, like how you ventured into AI and healthcare, your journey basically.
Yeah. So I took a fairly long and convoluted journey into where I am today. So just to give you a brief gist of where I was. So I saw the early infancy of technology revolution, you know, the 90s technology, the computer, the internet, everything was growing quickly. And that was my main interest. But my academic pursuits were always in the life sciences side of things. So I started with biotechnology, moved into clinical research and then pharmacy in Canada, followed by some more education on the business side, the strategy side of everything. And each of these fields gave me a pretty unique perspective. And it was kind of building all my skills together. And then a few years ago, we found this huge upsurge in AI and machine learning. And that's when everything just started coming together. And I found my niche at this intersection of healthcare and AI. And all these skills kind of feed into it, right? When I was in clinical research, I was seeing all this amount of data being generated. Being a pharmacist, working a frontline healthcare professional in the Canadian healthcare system, allowed me to understand the clinical side of things, helping me understand what the potential for technology is. And of course, the business was just kind of rounding everything out to see how they can be
involved. They are really well-rounded, like everywhere. Like you're well-rounded everywhere, like the business,
yeah, so,
the technology.
I'm not gonna be lying if this was planned. It was not planned. It's just, you know, I was finding some areas that I can improve upon, and that's what happened. I thought I was going to stop my education here, but then with this AI and this ability to be able to research, and we'll talk later on about my research focus and the engineering side of things as well as we move along.
Wow, amazing journey. I think what really got me is like how everything intersects from the business to the technology to the life sciences. Like you're a frontline healthcare professional. Like so for our listeners, viewers, he's a pharmacist, right? And in Canada. So we're having listeners from all around the world. So being a pharmacist in Canada is actually a big deal, like all those exams and everything. And he's a pharmacist and also an AI researcher. Amazing man. And so this just takes us right next into the next question. So what is AI, right? What is artificial intelligence? Like, so it's just like a buzzword nowadays. What is AI? Why is it so relevant these days? Yeah.
If you look around, everything has an AI focus, any company, any technology, there's always an AI component. It's a buzzword. But compared to some of the other buzzwords, it's actually a very powerful tool as well. In simple terms, it's basically a technology that mimics human intelligence. That's why it's called artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's an artificial.
So just to get that, it mimics human intelligence. Is that what you say?
Yeah, it mimics. So it's capable of learning from data, recognizes pattern, and then makes decisions very similar to what we do. And going back to the pharmacy example, same thing, you know, you look at the patient, grab the patient data, ask patient questions, analyze them, recognize patterns based on your past practice, and then come to decisions to either recommend a particular product or dispense a particular medication.
Wow. Okay. Like, why is it that AI was just discovered or it has always been there? But because I just noticed like over maybe the last like five years, AI has been a thing. Like, has it always been there? Or like, why is it now relevant now?
Well, AI has always been around. I was recently attending a seminar at University of Waterloo a couple of weeks ago. And they were talking
about AI. Yeah, I saw that. So cool.
Yeah, they were talking about AI in aviation. And they were talking about this in the 60s, 70s, 80s. So it was all there.
Oh, wow.
The trouble was, The computers were not strong enough. We didn't have enough data. So we needed to collect data first. So in the last few decades, we've collected a lot of data. In the last few decades, we've also improved our computing powers exponentially. And then the technology is there. So now we have this right mix that was able to bring AI to the masses. the conversations have always been there, you know, trying to have machines mimic humans. The concept has been there for a long time. And yes, so now it's actually becoming very powerful. They're bringing everything to the front, and it's empowering. The last few technology revolutions, they didn't empower people at an individual level. It was empowering industries, businesses. But this is the first time when ChatGPT came up, an average person can log in and get access to technology right now. I think that's the first time in history that we had such strong technologies empowering humans at an individual level.
Interesting, interesting. I think I was just recently I just took advantage of ChatGPT, and I just asked some questions, and he
Sure.
actually answered me very intelligently, and I was just like, wow, the possibilities are endless with this AI. Like it's interesting.
I would agree with you. The possibilities absolutely are endless. I will preface though, because a lot of conversation can get sidetracked and is it going to replace humans and all that stuff. At the end of the day, it's a tool. It's a very powerful tool. But at the end of the day,
It's a
it's a tool.
tool.
It's a transformation tool. But at the end of the day, it's a tool and will be used by humans.
Wow, interesting. So, what excites you most about AI, right? And what do you think is the potential to transform healthcare? Like,
I'm very, because of course, because I'm researching in the same space, I'm a little bit biased around what excites me.
Just to let our listeners and viewers know, so Alan Harlan is actually an AI researcher, and he actually researches big time in AI. So like he actually knows this stuff. So you really want to listen to what he's saying, right? So I'm asking him again, in case you didn't hear it, is what is AI's potential and like the potential to transform healthcare, and why are you most excited about it?
Yeah, so thanks, Ken. So just to preface that, I'm doing a PhD at University of Waterloo right now with a focus on human factors and machine learning and AI. So the thing that excites me a lot is a few different things, and I'll try to bring in my research topic in here as well. So healthcare has been very slow to embrace technology compared to other industries. Ask any patient, and their experience with healthcare is different from all the other industries. And that's where this thing is becoming so powerful. It has the ability to like unleash all this data that we have. So initially we have a data problem. We didn't have data in an ability where patients can easily access it. That has been solved. Most of the data is now digitized. Patient can access it. There are pockets, you know, there's some challenges, but it's getting better. The second problem we had was the ability to analyze this data was in pockets. We had this specialized group of people, healthcare professionals, who could take a look at this data and help patients understand this. That problem is solved as well. There's tons of clinical models that are able to take in all this data and provide valuable insights to the patients. And that's happening right now. Patient empowerment has, in the last few years, grown from here to here very quickly. And the part that excites me is also from a healthcare provider perspective as well. Over the last few years, last few decades, the amount of medical information has been increasing as well. So healthcare professionals have been bogged down in trying to understand and memorize all this stuff. So what this revolution does is it actually balances it out. The ability to ingest information, understand it, and comprehend it is level on both sides. So what that does do, I think what it does is bring the focus back on the patient interaction, you know, the softer aspects of healthcare. And I think that's what's very exciting about the future of healthcare. If you ask any patients, the comments you're usually wait times are long, the physician's not engaged, the pharmacist's not engaged, they're too busy doing things on the computer. So I think what this is going to do is it's going to free us back up from all the information that we've been, you know, that has been bogging us down and allow us to focus back on the patient on the interaction side. I don't know if you had some similar thoughts along this line.
I think for me, right, I see, because there's been tons of data, 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 data. And I just think it's very exciting to see that AI will be able to like analyze this data to make sense out of this data and help and guide the healthcare professionals and tailor patient outcomes to that, right?
Did you say will or did you say is?
Is will
It's
I don't
here.
know, tell me.
It's here. It's happening. A lot of
Oh
healthcare
wow,
organizations are ahead of the curve. Yeah, it's here. It's here.
okay. Wow, interesting. Like AI is here to stay. AI is here to stay. So I think every healthcare professional should be able to be adjusted to help AI and see how they can seamlessly bring it together with their practice just to improve patient outcomes, right? So I think my next question would be, how do you think this will impact patient outcomes and experiences in the next, like, say, maybe 5 to 10 years? How do you think it will impact patient outcomes? Because I think patient care should be at the forefront of all this.
It is at the forefront. The part I'm struggling with is the 5 to 10 years. So it's like AI is like the ChatGPT aspect, the commercial aspect that most people are aware of, is just over a year old. And the amount of change that we've seen is that dramatic. The 5 to 10 year mark, and again, I'm on record here, so I might be putting myself on the spot here, but I think it's going to happen much faster. I think the part where the boring and the repetitive aspects of healthcare, such as the note taking and the reviewing patient records, is going to get, AI'd, I guess, very quickly. And the conferences I've seen in the States, a lot of that is being implemented. Canada, of course, things are a little bit slower because of the funding model we have here in Canada. But I think it's going to happen here fairly quickly too. So what that will do is again provide this powerful piece of technology that will allow providers to sift through a large amount of data and compare it against a very large amount of very large knowledge base, and then come up with decisions and allow them to spend more time with patients. I think generally that is going to be the biggest benefit that we'll see from AI in healthcare, not just as a provider level, but at all levels, at a nursing level, at a pharmacist level, at all levels of healthcare, the focus will return back to patients. All this time that we've been spending manually entering information into
Yeah,
systems,
routine stuff.
that's going to get taken over by the AI algorithms.
Yeah, makes sense, makes sense. And that will free so much time for the healthcare professional to actually look at the patients, right? Yeah, makes sense. So how do you think healthcare professionals can position and how do you think they need to develop to work effectively with AI?
So there's two approaches healthcare professionals can take. One is going heavy on the technology side, understand the technology if they want to head towards that direction. But if you're a healthcare professional, I think the first thing is you need to stay updated with the latest advancements. Just like you keep in touch with your clinical updates, I think AI is the impact it's going to have on healthcare. It's crucial. For technology-focused folks, it's easier, right? You just focus on the evolution of this technology. But for healthcare professionals, they're a little bit more nuanced. Like they don't need to become AI expert, but a basic understanding is essential. And that's because as healthcare professional, you're going to come across these tools either you already have, or you're going to be coming across these tools and ask them to use and incorporate it into practice very quickly. So what's the downside of that if you don't have that basic understanding? First of all, a healthcare professional, when you come across an AI tool, you should be able to quickly understand how that model, how that AI tool came into being. What data was input into that model? And the reason I say that is we're in the first generation of these AI models. So Kenneth, so far all the models, all the data that we've fed into these models is being generated by humans, right?
Yeah.
So understanding that, what kind of data? Was the data large enough? Was it diverse enough? Similar to clinical trials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the clinical trials incorporate the right amount of subjects? Did it have, you know, a diverse ethnicity? Did it have enough male to female ratio to be able to extrapolate this information? Same thing applies, and that's same thing applies on these models as well. The data that was fed into it, is this representative enough of my patient base? If yes, then continue. If not, then you have to ask these questions. Fair enough?
Yeah.
And then the next piece is, once you come across the decisions from this AI model, how do you interpret these outputs? So that's the second crucial piece you have to ask as a healthcare professional. The decisions, are they in line with what they were expecting? And that's where the trust comes into play. And that's my research focus. I look at a lot into the explainability aspect of AI, because right now what the AI is doing is spitting out decisions. But what we are seeing now is there's a secondary layer of explainability. So the AI actually explains why it came up with these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is that introduces a layer of additional layer of trust. It builds more trust in the system, because as a healthcare professional, we are used to thinking like that, like why are we doing these things. So when the AI does that, we are able to trust it more. But at the same time, is this trust warranted? Is the explainability introducing a false sense of a higher amount of trust into the system? So these are the kind of questions you need to be able to answer as healthcare professionals who are coming across and using more and more of these AI tools.
Makes sense. So just a quick question, just a follow-up question to that. You said like the AI is going to explain like the reason why it came out with an answer.
Yeah.
So can we say that there can be some level of bias so like, for example, for maybe the developer that made that AI tool, the bias that he used could like affect the algorithm. What do you think?
Hands down, I absolutely agree with you. So these first generation of AI models, they've been fed data. First of all, that data itself is biased. We all know what the clinical biases have been over the years, especially, you know, in certain races and ethnicities. So all that bias is in the data set that we're using. And then the person building these tools, there's bias there too. So especially in this first set of AI tools, first generation of these tools, we need to incorporate these bias mitigations. We need to be able to build systems that when they explain their decisions, also explain these biases. Like, I'm coming up with these decisions. Here are the biases that I think might be affecting my decision. Mm-hmm. You as a healthcare professional need to understand how I got here. What are the biases? The patient is in front of you. You use this information to make the best decision, the best outcomes for the patient that's standing in front of you.
Wow, that makes so much sense. Yeah. Because I've always wondered, like, these biases, could a bad guy in quotes could he
think? So Kenneth, the funny thing is, think about, so right now, like I said, all this data, human generated data, is building the first generation of these AI models.
Yeah.
What has happened to the amount of data that we've been generating since this AI models came on board? Would you say that the amount of data generated is going up or down?
I think it's going up.
It is going up.
Yeah.
And who is generating the bulk of this second generation of data?
Healthcare professionals.
So it might be true at this point, but as we adopt more AI tools, guess who's going to be generating more and more of this data? So if an AI model is doing the note taking and, you know, like helping physicians and other healthcare professionals.
I see where you're going.
More and more of this data is being generated by AI, true?
True.
So when we feed this next generation of data into the next generation of AI models, what we've done is now we have bulk of this AI-generated data feeding into the next generation of AI models. So that is where the the human aspect becomes even more valuable. A lot of people say that AI is going to make humans redundant. But what I say is
I was going to ask you that. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Yeah. So what it does is the humans that actually understand these models, understand the limitations, are able to introduce more valuable data, become even more valuable. How we incorporate that into the next generation of models, where we have to say, this is the human generated data, it's small. This is the AI generated data, it's large. But this data is more valuable in the certain aspects. How we do that, that remains to be seen. And that's another aspect that I'm really excited about seeing, how we handle this stage of the AI evolution.
Yeah. Wow, this has been an insightful conversation. Once again, everyone, you're listening to the Health and Wellness series with Kenneth Itukakpan, and you've been listening to the voice of Dr. Alam Hallan. He is a pharmacist and an AI researcher. Amazing, amazing man. He's been giving so much insights to this conversation. And I just want to ask him as we begin to round up, I just want to ask him some other questions. And I'd like to ask, because I've read so much and I've also heard so much, especially here in Canada, that healthcare professionals are going through so much burnout, right? Yeah. There's so much, tons of patients they need to see. They are picking up shifts in the hospitals.
Yeah.
Our community pharmacies are burnout, basically.
Yeah.
So how do you think AI can help this healthcare professionals to ease burnout? Yeah, and address burnout, and basically just reduce the workload for healthcare professionals.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't think anyone's going to say that AI is not going to help. I think everyone says that AI is making life easier. It's going to reduce the amount of redundant workload, have staffing, workforce management, recruitment. So it's helping in that aspect. But I think based on the listeners that we have, I'm going to go back to an example from applied in the pharmacy practice. So in Canada, pharmacists are fairly new diagnosticians, right? Like, minor ailments in Ontario, provinces.
Certain provinces. Right?
So professionally, we've been focused on the dispensing aspect, the pharmaceutical aspect. But what's happened now is we have this regulatory authority to be able to diagnose minor ailments in patients. So at the same time, so when physicians and nurse practitioners and all the other professions that were doing this before us, AI was not there. So I think we are one of the professions where we are learning to diagnose when AI is around. Would that be a correct statement to say?
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how it impacts the pharmacist's ability to diagnose. Because that's one of the things that I'm trying to research as well. What happens when you have this third person in the room who's helping you diagnose? So there's a patient, there's a pharmacist, and then there's the AI. AI is there in the room alongside the pharmacist, helping them diagnose. What that does to the relationship between the patient and the pharmacist. What does that do to the quality of the diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
What that does do to the ability to make a proper diagnosis, proper treatment? And then lastly, what does that do to the actual skill set of the diagnostician?
Mm-hmm.
So all these questions need to be answered. So it's a very interesting space that I personally am very excited about because of being a pharmacist and also looking at the AI at the same time. So This is going to be extremely interesting. I know when you speak to pharmacists, it's been on the news as well. Trying to do professional services has been a challenge because of the time involved with still doing the technical aspects. So it's definitely going to help. It's going to help you, provide those patient professional services faster and more efficient. But what the things I want to talk about is, and I want to research about is, what happens to those human factors? How do we integrate that in the system that it actually improves patient trust, the pharmacist trust, and actually builds the relationship, improves the patient-pharmacist relationship? So those are the kind of things that I'm very excited to see. It's going to happen fairly quickly. But yeah, that's one of the areas that I'm trying to focus on and research, so I'm able to answer some of these questions for you next time I'm here.
So where you say it's going to happen quickly, like what do you think the timeline is going to be?
Which space are you talking about? Canada, because of the funding model and the
Canada, actually, this is like we're speaking from Canada, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Canada, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so Canada, because of the funding model and the reimbursement model, might be slow to adapt. But again, it won't be 5 to 10 years. I think it'll be 2 to 5 years,
Wow.
if I'm being honest with you.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited. I'm just excited to see what AI is going to do for the healthcare industry. Like,
So the virtual assistants in healthcare are going to be everywhere. And when I say virtual assistants, a lot of people think about a robot following you around and those kind of things, but the form will be ill-defined, right? We don't know, would it be a software program sitting on your computer? Would it be something running behind your dispensing software and helping you make those decisions? So the form could be any, but these virtual assistants are going to be there. They're going to be our co-pilots as healthcare professionals, helping us perform better. I'll give you an example of the, again, going back to the aviation industry, just because it's fresh in my mind. So in the aviation industry, what they were doing was they were studying pilots when they were flying, and they were looking at the level of stress. How, again, going back to the burnout example. So how stressed is the pilot? And then they were looking at what does that do to the pilot's ability to make decisions. And what they did was fed that data back into a feedback loop, which was able to change the brainwave patterns of pilots to bring the focus back in. And that's something that we can easily see in healthcare as well, right? We know the pharmacy is stressed out, and able to, make the changes that it need, assist the pharmacist to make sure the pharmacist is focused and is able to make those decisions that provide safe and effective patient care.
True, true, true. Wow, interesting. So I think in what would you say, like, to ask you the main core of this conversation, what would you say the future of AI is in healthcare, and what are the promising developments on the horizon for AI?
So if you think the one thing, and again I'm biased again because I'm spreading trust
Every
into,
one of us is biased,
yeah,
actually.
I'm very biased in, because I'm spreading trust and confidence in this system. So that is the piece that is going to be crucial. We know there's more AI coming, but are we able to use it, incorporate it in a way that not only maintains patient trust and confidence, but actually builds it? Are we able to use it in a transparent, reliable, and fair method to be able to not only recognize the biases that we have in our data set, but actually mitigate these data sets? And then, of course, going into the future generations of AI, as more and more data gets generated by AI, are we able to make it in a way that human creativity and judgment is actually fostered, and we don't lose that? I'll give you an example. So there was a task that I was helping automate about 10 years or so back. So it was an order entry task. And a standardized order would come in. We would analyze it, and we would enter it into a MIS system, and then also generate some paperwork for the pharmacy technicians to create the product, and it all had to align up. So one of the things I was part of was building a system that can just take the first order set and do everything, so there's no mistakes in when you're trying to enter this different information. But what happened was, over time, the human understanding of what we were doing started to fall down, and that's my concern here, going back to not in a bad way, but that's something that we need to be mindful of as pharmacists diagnose, and we're doing that in the presence of AI who's helping us make this diagnosis. Will it deteriorate skill set? And it's not just pharmacists too, even new physicians, new nurse practitioners who are coming into practice and using AI to make this diagnosis. Is this going to improve their clinical skills, or is it going to be detrimental to them? And that's just something that we need to be mindful of when we're designing these systems. So the systems are not meant to replace, because that's absolutely not the goal of AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the beginning, AI, if anyone's telling you that they're using AI to replace humans, that is just wrong, because the creativity and the human judgment that comes on, along with being human is absolutely important.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that when we design these systems, we take that into account. And that's something that we need to be mindful
so
of.
I think a lot of people, maybe, so I was having a conversation with some of my friends back home in Nigeria. And one of their fears is that, oh, AI is going to take over our jobs. AI is going, like, and I'm like, and I was just trying to calm them down that, okay, it's not that bad. It's not going to happen. Like you said, we still need the human judgment and the human interaction and everything. Yeah. So, but
that
I think
it's crucial. Like, have you noticed it? Have you noticed when you come across some piece of information and you're reading it, don't you sometimes just step back and say, oh, I think AI wrote this?
Yeah, true.
So
very
yes,
void of emotions. Yeah.
We want that human touch. We want that because we know how important that is. Sure, AI is getting better and better at mimicking it. And there's actually a lot of research showing that the information that comes from AI is harder to identify than, you know, like when you ask people, these two sets of information, which one came from a human, which one came from AI. It's becoming harder and harder, and AI is getting really better at it. But at the end of the day, there's something important when we talk about human creativity, human interaction, human judgment, that is irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
So what they need to be doing is, so here's how that conversation I think should go. Say, I'm worried that AI is going to be impacting a large portion of my job. What can I do to build my skill sets that are going to be more valuable?
That should be the right question.
So that's exactly the kind of mindset that we need to have. So the conversation needs to shift very slightly, and then it'll open up a brand new, you know, way of thinking and approaching this new feature.
Nice. And this just keys into to what I'm going to ask you. So what would you say, like, a word of advice to that boy back home in Nigeria, that boy in India, that is just looking at AI, and I'm like, and saying, what can I do with AI? What is this AI? What can I do with AI? What would you, or I want to delve into AI.
Yeah.
What would you tell that person? How would you counsel that person? What would you say?
I might be minimizing it, but I'll still explain it the way that I was originally thinking. So, think of this as any other technology. Think of this as, you know, internet. Think of this as email. Think of this as incorporating computer in your workflow. So think of this as a tool. Understand the tool better. Understand the limitations and the pros and the cons of the tools. And then understand which areas it reduces your workload, but which other new kinds of work it creates that needs to be done. So AI is going to be fantastic at analyzing information. It's going to be fantastic at doing drug interactions. But what can you do to ensure that, you know, the stuff that really needs your attention, you're able to work on? Like I said before, patient interactions, building those human connections with your patients. Those skills are going to become even more and more valuable. So identify them. Again, you know, we don't have all the answers, but that's the mindset you need to have. There's few things that are critical. AI is here. It's going to be more and more a bigger and bigger part of your personal and professional life. You have the ability to understand it better. And then you have the ability to understand what skills you can gain to be more valuable in this new future, in this new world. So those are the kind of the things that I would say to people who are asking these questions.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Alam. Thank you. This has been a very, very insightful conversation. And listeners, listeners that are listening, people that are watching. This has been the Health and Wellness Series with Kenneth Etuk-Akpan. And we've been speaking to Alan Harlan, and he has been speaking to us about AI in healthcare and the future and how the possibilities are endless. And one thing that I've really gotten out of this conversation, especially for healthcare professionals, is that they should begin to just shift their thinking a bit. AI is not coming to take over their jobs. AI is coming to make their jobs better. It's coming to at least just reduce the burnout and everything. And they should begin to adopt AI and just begin to just get themselves ready, adopt new tools in getting and taking advantage of AI. What would you say? What are your last words to our listeners, to people listening?
So,
what would you say?
Actually, just as you were saying it, and I think that's the thought that came to my mind, was what AI is doing is basically empowering you to do more. So
empowering you to do more. I love that.
So it's taking care of the boring and the redundant aspects of your job and allowing you to do more of what you really enjoy, what you're better at. And I think that is what's going to be crucial. So individuals who are better at, you know, taking advantage of these tools are going to be basically going above and beyond. So, you know, we used to have a delta in between but fair professionals, good professional, and outstanding professional. And I think it's going to shift that ratio fairly quickly. So the gap between being the professionals that are doing exceedingly well and the professionals that are doing okay, that's going to become wider and wider, because it's going to empower the professionals who are great at their job to do even more and be able to basically improve their outcomes by a factor of X by using these tools. So that's what's going to come out of this. Fantastic professionals, fantastic healthcare providers who are going to be able to use these tools are going to be able to do a lot more with it. And that second thought that gets introduced into my mind is, what will that do to them? Because now they're taking on more workload in a different kind of way. They have these models, but they're taking on more and more complex tasks. And that what remains to be seen. And that's what makes everything so interesting, because that's what's going to take us to the next level of what happens next in this technology revolution that we're going through.
Technology revolution. And those are the last words of Alan Harlan. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on this episode of the Health and Wellness Series with Kenneth Etuk-Akpan. It has been a pleasure hosting you, Alan Harlan. I've really, really gained so much from just listening to you. And I hope when next we call you, you'll be available to just get on this episode, get on another episode.
Yeah, no, let me know if there's any follow-up questions, anything comes up.
For sure. I'm sure there'll be so many questions.
If it's something that needs my attention, let me know.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being so gracious. Thank you. Thank you so much. And have an amazing day. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.